There you go, like that.
We are cooking by gas, as they say. All I need to do now is switch on the recorder. Yeah, I do trust that you are all well, and I do want to encourage you, I do want to challenge you. Have you ever heard the... Has anyone ever said to you, are you one of them? Yeah, it conjures up lots of different things, doesn't it? Are you one of them? Well, me being me, as I was looking through scripture and listening, because I listen to my Bible because of my reading strengths, and this phrase came out, are you one of them? And it just caught my imagination. So today, I hope you're up for a blessing, yes?
Yes.
And a challenge. Because I want to ask you, are you one of them? And I want you to think about it before you answer, because I'm going to give you multiple choices. So today's message is simply entitled, Nigel, we start this new year off, are you one of them? I'm just giving you time to process that, to see what you think. Are you one of them? So let me explain. In Matthew 26, verse 73, after a little while, those standing there, this, you picture the scene, Jesus is being put on trial as such. He's being beaten, and Peter is in the midst, standing there when after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. You are one of them. Your accent gives you away. So the question is, are you one of them? Let's see what else we have in store. In Matthew 18, verse 12. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will you not leave the 99 on the hills and go looking after him? Are you one of them? Are you one of the sheep that may wander? Or are you like a shepherd who will go looking for the one of them that wanders off? It got me thinking, as a pastor, as a shepherd of God's sheep, his flock, as someone who is charged with the privilege of feeding and nurturing and correcting and directing and bringing clean water and solid food. Am I one of them? Am I one of those shepherds that will go looking? Are you one of those sheep that will go wandering? But when we get this in context, it really brings out the heart of God. It shows us. It's not about someone comes to church and they're a member of the church and they don't come back to church for a while. They've wandered off and I can't be bothered to go after them. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the heart of God. It shows us a glimpse, a picture of who God is. And the Bible convinces us to be more Christ-like, doesn't it? Well, Jesus is the representation of God here on earth. He was fully human, yet fully God. And so he shows us what it is. And through this parable, through this story, are you one of them? And the challenge is, are you one of those that will wander off? Or are you one of those that will go looking for the lost? And that's the challenge of the gospel. Will we go and seek the lost? Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. We know all these scriptures, don't we? But the Bible says that all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for edifying, for correcting, for directing. And in church life, it's so easy to just pick out the bits that sound good. Just pick out the bits that you'll go home and you'll go, I feel so much better. I feel uplifted. You can be challenged and still feel uplifted. How do I know that? Because God knows what food we need and when we need it. And if you feel far away, then be of good cheer. God's looking for you. You know, this message is for those that are in front of us today and those that may just happen to switch on Grace Community Church website or listen to the recording. This is a message that we believe is going to make a difference in the world. It's the truth. And there's going to be a time, and I think it's already arrived, where we're going to be persuaded not to preach the truth. But we need to preach the truth, don't we? Because it's the truth that sets us free. So my question to you is, are you one of them? When they received it, this is talking about the gift that God had given him. I'll just go up a bit and I'll read from verse 9. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. This is a parable about the 11th-hour worker. You'll get it where, I remember when I first heard this and read this portion, I thought, well, that's not fair. They've worked all day in the heat of the sun and someone comes along just at the end of their life. They're just about to give their last breath and God says, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. How's that fair? But Jesus says, can I not do what I want to do with my money? If I want to be generous, can I not be generous? So what we've got here is, when they received the denarius, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour and said, they said, and you have made them equal to us. So never ever agree with people who say the Bible's not got equality in it. It's equal. It's equal. God loves all of us the same. The same message is we're all sinners saved by grace. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them. You can see where this is going, can't you? I just put in one of them and had a look to see what the New Testament was saying. He answered one of them. Are you one of them? Am I not being unfair to you, friend? Don't you agree? Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who has been hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? Are you one of them? Here's the challenge. Are you one of those people that will look at someone else who does nothing, give nothing, say nothing, praise very little? Are you one of them that will grumble and say, that's not fair? You love them the same as you love me. Yet I give you a tenth of all I have. I come to church on a regular basis. I honour those around me. I pray for those that are in difficulty. Yet here's this person in front of me who does none of those things. Are you one of them? It's a challenge, isn't it? Are you one of those who will stand by and go, no, I agreed to do what God called me to do. I agreed to receive the wage that he's going to give me, which is life and life in all its fullness, isn't it? I agreed to that, and so I'm going to be content with what I have. You see, for us as a church, for you as an individual, for me as an individual, we don't have to, but I suggest it would be good for us to get to a point as we enter into this next year where we say, Lord, you have made me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, I may not function in the same way as others, but you've given me a gift. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I may not be able to work physically as hard as the person over there, but you've given me the ability to pray. Lord, I may not be able to give as much as those around me, but you've given me a generous heart. Are you one of them? Are you one of them grumblers? I don't want you to answer. You know, I'm bringing this message because it challenged me. Because I asked the question, am I one of those? Who am I? Matthew 22:35. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, they hang on these two commandments. Are you one of them that will test God? If you love me, Lord, you'll let me have this car. If you love me, you'll bring the perfect person into my life to marry. If you love me, Lord, you won't challenge me the way you do. Are we one of them that will challenge God? And I say that because in my early walk with the Lord, I was one of them. I thought, you know, God was my genie in the lamp. I just needed to rub every now and again. Poof, he'd come out and give me 3 wishes. Well, that's not what Scripture is, isn't it? You know, praying is not 3 wishes, is it? I wish you would do this for me, Lord. I wish my health would be better. I wish... No. Now, I suggest that we are not to be one of those that will test the Lord. We're to test things we hear. We're to test what people say from the pulpit, like me. We're to test my words, but we're not to test him. See, God is truth, but we are to be honourable one to another, honourable to the call that he's given us, and we are to look at his word and put it into context. So if we use the word test, rather than use the word test, use the word examine. We're to examine ourselves, and we're to examine fruit trees, aren't we? Now, we're like fruit trees, and so you are to examine my fruit, the fruit of my life. You're to examine that. That doesn't mean you're testing me to see if I'll stumble, but you're examining me to see if I'm fruitful. So are you one of them that will test God, or are you one of those that will examine and see what we need to change? It's a bit like the story, I haven't put it here, the story of the log, the plank and the speck. I won't mention names, but I worked for a Christian family when I first got saved, when Christ came into my life, and I was evenly balanced. I had a chip on both shoulders. I was one of those that, you talk about sandpaper, knocking the rough edges off. That was me. And I remember having a conversation with one of my work colleagues, and he was a Christian, and I was a new Christian, and I just wanted to hit him over the head with a piece of 2x2. He so made me mad. And I criticised what he was doing, the way he was doing it. And then I read this portion of scripture that says, before you try and take the speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. Examine yourself. And that put it in perspective for me. I don't know if I like this gospel. It challenges us, doesn't it? It challenges us to change. But if we are one of them that will examine ourselves, not test God, but examine ourselves, examine his word. Is it in context? Is it truth? Is what I'm saying truth? Is it what God says? Or am I making things up? Examine the fruit of our lives. Examine the fruit of your own life. When we come to the communion table, it encourages us to examine ourselves to see if there's any wickedness in us, and bring that to the Lord and say, Lord, Father, forgive me. And he chooses to. Are you one of them? An expert? Have you... You don't need to answer this. Have you ever met someone who's an expert? I remember when I was younger, and the word expert would be used. And then someone said this. They said, an expert is a has-been, someone who's been there, done that, but never accomplished anything, and a drip under pressure. Expert. Expert. You get that? So sometimes, when we are fully functioning in our field of expertise, we'll use that expertise to bring freedom to other people, not to bring condemnation. So it's okay for us to be expert in whatever we have, because God's gifted us in a way that we're not going to be one of those that will test, but one of those that will examine. We'll examine our motives, we'll examine the fruit in our lives, and we'll examine the fruit in other people's lives. So are you one of them? In Matthew 27:47, when some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Now, this is Christ on the cross. He's been crucified to suck up our sin, to take upon himself the wrath of God. It doesn't tell us much about the spiritual side of what Jesus paid for me and you. But we know that the wrath of God was poured out on him. So it was bad enough to see the scourge of the Roman Empire. It was bad enough to picture the bone and the flesh being ripped apart. That was bad enough. It's bad enough to imagine our Saviour and Lord on a tree with his arms outstretched, hanging there with every breath. Difficult. But what we don't see is what he suffered for me and you, the full wrath of God. So there he is hanging there. One of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with wine vinegar and put it on the staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. Are you one of them that's just standing back and watching? Are you one of those that are just watching what God does for other people? Are you one of those that are watching to see what Jesus has done for others, but never seeing what he's done for you? You see, for us as we go into a new year, my challenge is, be one of them. Be one of those that will stand and marvel at what God has done. Stand and marvel at what he's endured for us. Because Jesus says himself, if a man owes 100 denarii, and another man owns 10 denarii, and he is forgiven, they're both forgiven their debt, which one will love the master more? And the answer was, the one who got forgiven more. You've answered correctly, Jesus said. So when we stand back and we look and we become one of them what will acknowledge what Christ has done for us, then I suggest we'll be one of those that will acknowledge the price he paid, and that we will be those that are willing to work in his vineyard, even though we're paid the same as those that are only being there one day. Are you one of them? Are you one of those that will just stand and watch, or one of those that will stand, watch, and receive what God has for you this coming year? Luke 17. One of them, when they saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. He thanked him, and yet he was a Samaritan. And this story is put there because the Samaritan and the Jews were enemies, yet Jesus has healed these lepers. You know the story. And one of them had come back and given thanks, and to place themselves at the foot of a rabbi in wonder and awe was unheard of in their culture, because they were enmity with each other. They hated each other. Are you going to be one of those this year that when God blesses you, you give thanks? For me, there's times where I can take what God has done for me, and I can become so familiar that I take it for granted. Familiarity breeds contempt in everything. Well, it's always happened this way. You know, you come out of your gate in the morning, you turn right, and you always get a road ahead, no traffic, and one day you can do that and someone can come and you can knock them over. Well, you become so familiar with that road that you take your eyes off the road and you put it on the circumstances around you. Are you one of them that if God heals you, you just take it as a matter of fact rather than giving thanks? And I say that because there are so many things in life that if we've been Christians for any length of time, we take for granted. And we pray that God will bless us, and he blesses us, and on we go. And we have an opportunity when we meet together to be blessed and to be challenged, to say, okay, Lord, yes, you've reminded me. Thank you for what you've done for me over the Christmas period. You know, I have this, we all have a kind of a flap inside our throats, which is a non-return valve, and mine gets stuck every now and again, and I feel as if I'm going to choke to death. Thank you, Lord, that I'm still here speaking. Thank you, Lord, that I got up this morning with breath in my lungs. Thank you, Lord, that I survived my family. Thank you, Lord, that the gift of Christ is not just for Christmas, but for life and life in all its fullness. Thank you, Lord, that you bless my family. Thank you, Lord, that you've healed my son. Thank you, Lord, that you've redeemed me. Do you get the picture? So often, and I'm not suggesting any of us here do this, there may be one or two people who are listening online who they never give thanks. And this is just a challenge. Are you one of them? Are you going to be one of them that recognizes the grace of God on their lives on a daily basis and give thanks? Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Why do I need to forgive? Because I've been forgiven. Thank you. Are you one of them? I told you this would be a blessing and a challenge at the same time. God wants to encourage us. He wants us to be a people who have the fullness of the gospel, not just one part, but all of it. In Luke 22, verse 49, when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our sword? Now, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they're coming to arrest Jesus. And at this point, the disciples obviously had their weapons with them. One of them obviously had a sword, because this portion of scripture tells us. So one of them, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. Are you one of them? Now, there's two ways to look at this. Are you going to be one of those that defend Jesus? Or are you going to listen to what Jesus says? Jesus answered, "No, no more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. See, Jesus is big enough to fight for himself, isn't he? There's times where we get into discussions, and I'm not saying you do, generally, we get into discussions and we want to defend God. We want to say, yeah, but what about this, what about that? Listen, if you're blind, you'll never see. So we can pray that, Lord, open their eyes, they may see you. We don't need to be weaponized when we go out. We have the armor of God, and we have the sword of the Spirit. That's the only sword we need, is his word. When the enemy came and said to Jesus himself, throw yourself off this. And the angels will pick you up. Just throw yourself off. He was tempted, wasn't he? He was tempted to commit suicide, if you like it, in the human sense. To just jump off a cliff. What did Jesus do? It is written. He used the sword of the Spirit. So let's not be those that will fight back with anger. Fight back with the weapons of carnality, but fight back with the weapons that Christ has given us through his Holy Spirit. And that's the sword of the Spirit. Are you going to be one of them? As we continue to look at who we are and what God says about us in John 11:49. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. You know, nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man dies for the people than for the whole nation to perish. Are you going to be one of them? One of them that will listen to what the Spirit says and then speak up? Listen and then speak up. Because it was a revelation. He received this by revelation. That he understood that it would be better for one man to die, to become a sacrificial lamb, rather than a nation to perish. He understood, he had that revelation that no more was we having to come with an animal to sacrifice blood for our sin, but one man for all eternity will be sacrificed. One death, one resurrection, so that we could be set free. Are we going to be one of them that will listen to what God says and then speak it out? That's the blessing for us this year. To challenge ourselves to say, Lord, here I am, send me. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. See, God has put you where he wants you to be. He has given you the gifts he wants you to have. Are you one of them? Are you one of them that goes, God, I thank you that you've made me a big toe, but I'd rather be a mouth? Do you not realize how important the big toe is? Cut it off and see how you stumble. And you won't stumble over the stumbling stone, which is Christ. You'll just stumble. And then you'll go, Lord, I was so blessed as a big toe. But there's times where God clearly gives us. He clearly places us in the body. And he clearly gives us a mandate. Are we going to be one of them who acknowledge that he's put us just where he wanted us to be? Because there are times in life where we feel inadequate. There are times in life where we think we're not tall enough, we're not strong enough, we're not eloquent enough. Our hair is too long, our hair is too short. We turn right when we should turn left, we turn left when we should turn right. Every time I say something, I seem to put my foot in my mouth. I'm just like Peter. Do you not realize that God has placed you in a body so that you can function? So that when one part of the body takes responsibility for the walking, another part of the body takes responsibility for the balance. Where you have a head, you have ears, you have eyes, you have a mouth, you have a brain. Do you not realize that when you picture this beautiful thing God has given the church, a body, that you don't have to do everything yourself? You can rely on God's body. Are you one of them that will acknowledge this year that you are a part of the body? You are blessed, you are gifted, you are talented, and if you do and work with what God has given you, that's all he asks. When we look at that parable of the talents or the bags of gold, one was given 5 bags, one was given 3 bags, one was given 1 bag, and it said the one who had 5 multiplied it and gained 10. And what did his master say? The reward was, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Yes? The one who was given 3 talents, 3 bags of gold, 3 opportunities to bless others. Well done, good and faithful servant. The reward was the same. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The one who was given 1 talent just buried it. And he said, I know that you're a harsh man, that you reap where you do not sow, and you're going to hold me accountable. So I thought what I'd do is I'd take what you've given me and I'd bury it. And what did the landowner say? You wicked, lazy servant. Take the one that he has and give it to the one who has 10 and throw him out into the darkness where there's, this is a good word by the way, weeping and gnashing of teeth. So as long as we work with what God has given us, the reward is the same as if you worked 1 hour or 12 hours. Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. So are you one of them who will work with what God has given you or bury what he's given you? Challenge, but blessing at the same time. John 13:23. One of them, disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. One of them whom Jesus loved. So you're one of them. You're one of them who Jesus loves. And just get this picture. There they are at the table together. They're not sitting with chairs and all civilized. They're leaning against each other. They're breaking bread together. And Jesus says, one of you who's here, who will dip the bread, you'll betray me. But one of them, disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. That's what God wants for me and you. There's an old song, an old hymn, let go and let God have his wonderful way. Might be cheesy, but there's truth in there sometimes, isn't there? Let go and let God. Just lean on him. The Bible says, cast your burdens upon Christ. You know, we can take our sins and we can give them to him and leave them with him, or we can take them straight back again and allow them to burden us. You see, when Jesus says the yoke is easy, the yoke is, if you picture the two animals, the oxen, there's a yoke which joins the two and make them one. It joins the two and make them one. And when you're equally yoked, you both have the same strength. These animals were of the same stature, the same height, the same build, the same power. So when they went forward, they ploughed in one straight line. And when Jesus says, be yoked to me, even though we are weak, he makes up the difference. So when we plough, then the furrow is still straight because we're yoked to him. One of them, a disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Chill. Let's be those this year that when we're feeling heavy and burdened. You may not be. You may be one of those that the joy of the Lord is your strength and you're on the high, high mountain. But there may be times that you're in the low, low valley. What will I do? Well, be one of them. Recline on him. Give him your burdens. Talk to him. Allow him to guide you and strengthen you and enable you. In Luke 15, verse 4. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open countryside and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Are you going to be one of them this year that will have a heart for someone, God has placed, you know, we can't do everything all the time, can we? We can't be everywhere at once. We can't give everything away, because if we give everything away, we'll have nothing for ourselves, and then next week we can't give anything away. So we have to have it in order to give it. But are you going to be one of them this year that will devote yourself to that one person that you've been praying for and saying, Lord, this is the year. This is the day of salvation. I'm praying him in. I'm praying her in. Lord, I'm praying for salvation. Lord, the world says that they can't, but your word says that they can. Your word says that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. They may be lost, but Father God, I'm going to go find them. I'm going to preach the word through prayer. I'm going to use the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to believe that when I pray, you answer. I'm going to believe that the answer is already there, even though I haven't seen it. The Bible says, pray as if your prayers have been answered. So how do we do that? Glad you asked. So we pray the prayer, and then we thank God for the answer, even though we can't see it. Are you going to be one of them that will go looking this year for the lost? Are you going to be one of them? Luke 12:6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Are you one of them that knows he's not forgotten by God? You see, it's so easy to see things around us. It's so easy to spend a year of doing. I was speaking to someone at Christmas and I was saying, you know, really when we look at the story of Mary and Martha, we need to be a people that have a balance of both. Where we work with what God has given us. That flap is beginning to activate, so if I choke, don't panic. We work with what God has given us, and we sit at his feet and listen. You see, if we get that out of balance, it's a bit like parenting. If it's too much love and not enough discipline, it's not good. If it's too much discipline and not enough love, it's not good. We need to be baby bear just right with our porridge. Mixed metaphors, you'll get it. But we need to have a balance between serving the Lord and listening to the Lord. Are we one of them that will understand that we're not forgotten, that we are precious? I trust that you are. And if you're not, I trust you will be. Just 2 more scriptures, please bear with me. In Matthew 25, verse 21, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in his master's happiness." This is that parable I was talking about with when God gives you a gift, be one of them that will just use what he's given you. And as you use what he gives you, he'll give you more to work with. But the gift is good and faithful servant. Matthew 26, verse 73. It's the one I began with, but just one sentence added to it, and I'll finish with that, which is, after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Your accent gives you away. Surely you're one of them." Do the way we speak, does it give us away? Can people tell? Have anyone ever said to you, "Are you a Christian by any chance?" And you go, "Yes, I know." "How did you know?" "Well, I thought you was one of them." You act differently. You react differently. "I saw you reading your Bible. I saw the way that you treat that person that was abusive to you." Are you one of them? Your accent gives you away. I'll leave you with this final thought. When we look at speech throughout the Bible, when we look at the way Jesus spoke, he wasn't always meek and mild, was he? Jesus Christ, the little child, Jesus Christ, meek and mild. Have you not read the Gospels? You whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but inside you're full of dead bones. Goes into the temple and he makes a whip and he drives them out. Jesus, yes, he spoke in a humble manner at times, but he also spoke with authority. There are ways of using the voices that God has given you to build up or to tear down. Are you going to be one of them that will have an accent, will have the twang of the Holy Spirit in their lives? When we look at Paul and we look at Peter, two people that were called good and faithful servants. But they both had an opportunity to share God's word. But they shared God's word with two different people types. Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter took the gospel to the Jews. And the reason I say that is this, is when we use the voice God has given us, we need to identify who we're talking to. If I was to speak the gospel to anyone of my age and older, so I'm 61 and above, and I talk about God, they know who I'm talking about. They've been brought up with Christianity through school. When I was a child, we'd say the Lord's Prayer every morning in assembly. When you talk about Jonah and the whale, I knew exactly who you meant. David and Goliath, Goliath was the big man, David was the small man. I knew all these stories. But you talk to a generation that are younger, and they'll go, Jesus who? Jesus who? Which God? The thousands that are out there, which spirit are we talking about? So when you look at Paul and Peter, they understood their audience. So I want to leave us with this thought. Are you one of them? And use all the illustrations that we've got. Are you one of them? And will your accent give you away this year? Will the way you speak give you away? If you're talking to the unchurched, speak in a way that brings the revelation of Christ. If you're speaking to the church, speak in a way that will bring the revelation of Christ. But it's the same message. But there will be people that we talk to this year that won't have a clue what you're talking about. When you talk about righteousness, when you talk about sin, when you talk about being complete, when you talk about being born again of God's Spirit, there'll be Nicodemus. Very clever, very intellectual, but I can't be born a second time into my mother's womb. Huh? So you need to reveal. You need to speak in a way that people will understand. And I'll leave you with a challenge where we examine ourselves to see if we're one of them. And when we meet those that aren't one of them, a follower of Christ, that we speak to them in a way that they will understand. That we pray that God would give you the words to say. That we will pray that God will give you the revelation because you've done the Mary and the Martha. You've worked with what God has given you and you've listened to what the Holy Spirit says. Amen. Let's finish in prayer and I'll leave the tape recording for our prayer. Father, we thank you for who we are, that we are one of them. We are disciples of Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we've been given talents to work with. We thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us as orphans. We thank you, Lord, that you will say, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you will challenge us to change. We thank you, Lord, that you'll give us opportunities this year. So we pray for those opportunities. We also pray as a church for those that may be listening that are suffering in their bodies, in their spirits, those that have lost loved ones this year, those that are wondering there must be more than this, those that are wondering if God loves them. We pray that they will hear the message of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for you who are listening, that you will accept Jesus as Saviour and Lord, and try not to answer the question before he's asked it. Faith is a hope, it's an evidence. Faith is all around us. Let's exercise it. So we pray for salvation to come to your house this year. Amen.